Attention. The National Weather Service has issued a hurricane warning for the entirety of the National Hockey League. Please stay tuned for further information from the Storm Cellar.
Welcome back to the Storm Cellar. I feel good, Ray, because I got an excellent sleep last night because I texted Ray before the game and said, if they go down by two goals to start the game, I'm going to bed because I got kid and stuff to do. And I actually did see Martinuk score before I turned the game off. Right. But as a man of my word, Ray, I told you if he went down 2-0, 2-0, I was turning it off.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad I got to see Martinuk score his first of the year. Happy to have, you know, Marty get that one, But hey, I told you I was going to bed.
And you know, normally I am the someone who would say, hey, you know, where are you going? Don't leave. Who am I going to, you know, talk with this game about, as we always do for every game? But I understood. I fully understood why, because Western Canada has not been kind to the kids. part of me wonders whether if in some superstitious way it's my fault because I'm not in Canada for the Western Tour, where I would have probably been at two games and just.
I wish I could blame you, but it's been more than four games. A real quick housekeeping note, and I'll let you introduce our very wonderful guest.
Yes.
Housekeeping note. We're family friendly. This episode will be family friendly. There may be a goal horn or two that may sneak in there. Probably not going to be a happy-go-lucky episode, if I'm being honest, because I don't think you and I ever bag on players without reason. And I don't think we bag on players, but we are going to point out and say, this person's not doing X, Y, and Z. And here's reasons why we say that, right?
Yeah.
Like we're not just being negative to be negative, but we do try to be honest. And for people who, especially for maybe who are newer to the game or don't get to watch it, only get to listen to the call or something, say, well, you know, what are they seeing? Why are they saying these things? And we try and put that out there. So just, you know, if you're a fan of the show and you're like, I just need like happy go lucky Canes talk, like just giving you a heads up, like this may not be the episode, right? I don't know how it's going to go, but, and two, we're not going to gatekeep fans on the show. I've already started seeing the, if you're this down after four losses, you know, were you really around during the dark times, the 9 year, like, yes, we were. And I don't assume they were talking to me personally or you or anything, but just,
yeah.
It's one thing to be bad and know you're bad. Our guest went to NC State, as did I. And she'll agree. She'll be like, yeah, when you know you're bad, it's different because you're like, well, we know we're bad. So I'm frustrated and I want to win. But if I'm being honest, this is the expectation. And that is very, very different than coming into the league for the season with a top five team on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, a lot of people thought a top one team on paper. And being fourth from the bottom of the Eastern Conference, out of a playoff position, having given up games in hand, which we'll get to, those are two different things. So we're not going to say, oh, you know, hey, people have a right to be upset, right?
Yeah.
We follow this team. They're underperforming. And I think what people are most upset about, what I am most upset about, is the lack of action. And we'll get to that later on, but like that's what's really frustrating to me is you know, it's, well, you know, players aren't buying in and we've had to talk about it and we cancel practice and we're going to talk about it some more. And I'm like, okay, but are you going to do anything?
Yeah.
So anyway, on that joyous note.
Well, just let me just quickly add this. It might sound like we're, you know, the two old curmudgeons from the Muppets, Statler
and Waldorf.
I'm okay with that because they were my favorite.
They were my favorite too. It might sound like we're that, but we're really, and I look at us more like the canaries in the coal mine. Because after last night's players only meeting, after the Vancouver loss, perhaps they're starting to see and understand what folks like you and I have been saying all along. So criticism about us, you know, pointing at the facts that we see, it doesn't make us any less of a caniac, far from it.
Nor does it make us any less correct.
We might lean, we might lean more to the jerk side sometimes, but certainly doesn't stop our Caniacs. But you know what?
We still love the team.
We still love the team.
We didn't love the team, I wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning recording. Ray wouldn't be in the Bahamas on vacation, 3,000 miles from home recording if we didn't love the team.
Yeah,
that's
100%.
That's the real talk.
100%. But the best part, though, is that there's others and the focus of what, oh, love it. That's a fantastic shirt. He showed me my Whalers.
I tried to change their luck wearing some Whaler gear, but
there you go.
Didn't work.
We might be the curmudgeons, but we brought a very happy face to join us. And you've heard her voice a couple of times. It's no time like the present to introduce her. Joining us in the Storm Cellar is one Aaron Hatfield. Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time and the chance to sit in with the curmudgeons.
And to be brave this week especially.
Yeah, no question. We're very, very excited to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me and good morning.
Good morning. So look, the Storm Cellar goes, we always like to focus on the fans. They are the fuel to the fire for the team. And it's a unique perspective that you have. Of course, we had a chance to talk, but you've got some great perspectives that really we want to highlight. But first, we need to find out things like, you know, how did you become a Caniac? Where did your start, your whole love of the game? We want you to just kind of give us your background, bring us to today, favorite players, the whole story. We want the focus on you. We're going to shine the spotlight. Aaron, tell us all about it.
Great. Well, I grew up in the Hampton Roads area. So from a hockey perspective, I grew up watching the Hampton Roads. They were the Hampton Roads Admirals at the time, now the Norfolk Admirals, who we are affiliated with, which I was thrilled about. And I've been a lifelong sports fanatic. If it had a ball or anything round associated with it, it was on our TV in my household. So I could not avoid it. And hockey was never like a big sport in our house. But like I said, started going to some hockey games when I was younger. And I was like, hold up, this has like the hit factor from the NFL, but it is faster and it's on ice. Sign me up. Mm-hmm. So that is where I fell in love with hockey. Then I went to NC State, as we said earlier, and then went to a couple of Ice Caps games way back in the day. Nice. And once the Canes came here, it was just a natural progression to become a Canes fan. When they first moved here, my wallet was a little slimmer, so I didn't have the opportunity to go to many games, but my very first game was a playoff game.
Wow.
That ruined me.
Yeah.
And it was me and a couple of buddies from college. We were in the lower bowl, and I was like, this is the only experience I ever want to have at a hockey game. And it was against the Devils. So I was just like, I hate them with every fiber of my being because they won that game. But that atmosphere was just electric. We stood the entire game. And that was, again, just a fantastic experience. Then now that I am older and making better money, I have become a season ticket member. My first season, I was behind one of the goals, and it was the away goal where like all the away fans come for warmups and everything. And I was like, I don't know that I like this from like the warmup experience. It was fantastic. See like all these world-class athletes up close. And that was great. Then for the playoffs, I bounced around a little bit to see what other areas of the arena I liked. And then I found my seat. I found the best seat in the arena, which is where I'm sitting now. It is behind the bench. It is right next to the players' tunnel. And I am nosy as all get out. So not only can I see like great views of the game, but I get to see stuff that's happening on the bench, like who is jawing at who from the other team, like when they do line changes and all of that stuff. But I also see like, oh, it's serious. Like the doctor said in front of me, it's a serious injury if one of them gets up and goes back to the locker room, or like even the other player or the other team's players, like, you know, it's a bad injury if one of our doctors is going back as well. And then I've seen a couple of times like our players might get frustrated and calmly walk down the players' tunnel and you hear a smashing noise, and then they calmly walk back and pick up a new stick and sit down on the bench, like ready for their next shift. I've seen that a couple of times from our players, and just all kinds of goodies that I get to see. And like that perspective, again, while seeing the entire game, I love it. I love it so much.
It's fantastic. Aaron, you know what? It's something just dawned on me.
Yeah.
For the Hall of Fame game for Cam Ward, I was, you know, a little further back, but behind the Canes bench.
Yeah.
You and I met, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We did.
It's just dawning on me now. You know what? Hearing you speak and just talking about where you were sitting and then the enjoyment that you had from there, I just realized, yes, we actually chatted after the game that night, correct? Yeah, it was after the game. There you go. So now your face, you know what?
He's a little older. He got
right. I'm older, terrible memory. And it was funny. I asked Brad before the show, I said, we've had Aaron on the show, haven't we?
Yeah, you did.
No, we haven't.
Like, I know.
I know I've talked to her. I just couldn't remember.
See, I thought it was old age, but it was the opposite. It was old age for the wrong reason.
Exactly. So Aaron, and now you mentioned, of course, the playoffs and you're hating the Devils. It sounds like it rivals my hatred of the team that shall not be named. I got to ask, you know, in that playoff game, even though the Canes might have lost that game, you mentioned it was just, that was the ignition, right? Like it just sparked it. What about it was so exciting? Was it the group around you? Was it the environment or of the thing? Like, did you know it was going to continue on like that for you?
It was a whole environment. So I know that this isn't hockey related, but like, again, growing up in a sports loving household, I knew that I wanted to go to a school in the ACC because I knew that I wanted sports to be a big part of my collegiate experience. Of course, I wanted to get a degree that I could use later on in life and have a great academic career in college, but I also wanted that sports experience. So having that carry over into, again, a professional, like social experience as part of the team that I'm rooting for hockey, and just everyone around you is just losing their mind like for like an hour. And it like that whole atmosphere, I loved it. The people I was with, great people, great friends, but it was just the entire atmosphere. It was the game experience, all of it. And the game experience is something that I've been to quite a few away arenas as well. I also make note of when I travel to the other arenas too, just how engaged the fans are, how the other hockey clubs like make sure to involve the fans and everything in the game day experience. And that's something that also intrigues me. And I feel like again, having that playoff experience is like your first experience that just, that totally does ruin you. but just that whole community, for lack of a better word, just like everybody's there and just having, everybody was just losing their minds.
Yeah.
And to have that carry over collectively through the years has been really fun to be part of and to watch.
That barn is electric. And there's something about it. It's so much fun. Which player jumped off the ice for you? Was there a player that, like, during that game, you just, there's some that just kind of steal your attention?
Not during that game, no. It was back in the early 2000s, and I don't remember. A lot of the players, like on our roster or on New Jersey's roster either.
Yeah. So
talk about a bad memory.
You know what? That's fine. And it's actually understandable too. Like sometimes, it's the whole environment. You can be overwhelmed by so much. It's a sensory overload.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like I can totally imagine that. Do you have a favorite player from the time that, I mean, you're a season ticket holder? Do you have an all-time favorite? Is it different than your favorite now? Maybe, like, what are we looking at?
Yeah. So my first year as a season ticket member, the meet the can, I had a half season because I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be into this.
Yeah,
I have a single ticket. We'll see how this goes. I ended up buying tickets to all but two games. So nice. I might as well have just gotten a full season to begin with.
Sure.
So the season ticket member, like meet the Canes night, I wanted, like, Justin Falk was my guy. I was like, I want to meet him. That was the night he got traded.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's brutal. Oh my gosh.
Like, go up to his table. His sign is ripped off the table.
Oh,
everything. Man. And like Don Waddell's walking around. Like, I met him and was like, hey, what's up? What's going on, GW? And he was working his magic. But then we got Joel Edmondson out of it. I fell in love with him. I know he didn't play like all the games and everything, but fell in love with him this season prior at St. Louis. Like that whole team, they were fantastic. Like that whole, like, basically Cinderella run that they had for the cup and everything. And I was thrilled to get him, loved his fire and all of that. So I got his jersey, and of course he left.
And then, to Montreal.
I know.
Team that shall not be named.
I know.
Ugly.
Then, Nino, like the jersey I'm wearing now is Nino. I, like, he was so sweet and kind and generous, like, off the ice. And then seeing him on the ice, I wanted him mic'd up for a game because I was like, every player on the opposing team seems to not be able to stand him. Like, I need to know what he is saying, like, what kind of chirps he is giving out, because everybody is just like, oh, he's the worst. And now, like, I was thrilled when we got Freddie, because, like, I feel like Toronto really kind of did a disservice to him, like watching that Toronto documentary that they had. Like, both he and Campbell, I feel like, got really scapegoated in that system. Campbell, bless him now, not doing too great, you know, like, been sent down. But I love that Freddie, when he was healthy here, has thrived. And I, again, felt like he really, like, watching that documentary, like how they treated him, where he was like, I'm not ready to come back. And the meeting with Keith Dubas, where they were just like, I think he's lying, basically, about, like, that's, is he ready to come back, and all of that. And oh my gosh, like, steam was coming out of my ears. And And I'm happy now to have Bunting. I want him to do really well here. I hope that he can adjust to our system and thrive. Svetch, I adore him. I think he's such a hard worker, and he's really hard on himself. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen from him in like warmups, like he goes to like all the little kids on the glass and like will say hi to, like wave to them, or like go up on the glass and like give them a fist bump and stuff like that. And I just think he's a special player, and I hope that he can like reach his potential. And coming back from that injury, and it, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, he's invisible this season and stuff like that. And I was like, he's coming back from a real tough injury. So
yeah, one of the worst.
Used to be a career ender. I mean, the fact that they're able to play at all is, I mean, yeah.
And now he's dealing with probably a rib injury from that really bad cross check. And I was just like, but I have a Freddie jersey and I have a Svetch jersey. So I'm just like, I'm done with jerseys with people's names on it, because it's like, so we're done with that. We're done with that.
Wait till they sign that long-term contract.
Yeah,
I know.
And then you at least feel better. I mean, they might get traded, but you know,
but it's,
there's a little insurance.
The other thing is they get injured. Like, I feel like it's, yeah.
You know, Aaron, with your comment about Freddie and the way he was treated with the Leafs, and the fact that they were basically saying, yeah, he's not, you know, he's probably fudging the numbers a little bit, not, you know, he's really ready to go and he can't. The blood clotting issue that he has, that has him out now, kind of changes the perspective of that in a huge deal. No one knows their, no person knows a body better than themselves. And right. I think that, you know, I'm really concerned. I know Brad and I have kind of kibitzed amongst ourselves, and, you know, you don't want to put a jinx on him, but I don't believe that he can come back really at this point. And this blood clotting issue has happened many, many times before. Like, there's, there was Howie Morenz, 1937. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he died of an embolism dealing with blood clotting issues and stuff.
Right.
Was it Pecorine? His career ended.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he missed an entire season for the same reason. And then he, you know, had to retire at the end of the year. And I'm curious to know if maybe Freddie's in this situation now, which is really unfortunate.
Because you get it from both sides, right? So if you have clots, you should not be playing, right? Because trips and all those things increase your chance of a clot, and throwing a clot is just an awful thing.
Yeah.
You know, the antidote to that is blood thinners, right? You know, Eliquis, Coumadin, depending on, you know, what your body can handle. I did a drug study on Coumadin. I think I mentioned this before. The antidote to that is frozen blood plasma. And you don't want to be around guys with, you know, knife shoes and a puck coming at you at 100 miles an hour if you're on blood thinners. I mean, I'm not saying guys maybe don't do it. Like, I don't know of anybody. I can't say, we know this guy is. But as a goalie, like, you know, it's just not worth the risk, right? I mean, there's, you know, some of these guys will go through it. And I think Freddie's been through so many things, and it's, I hope he's able to come back. But yeah, like Ray and I have talked, and you know, I think at least for this season, you know, get healthy and try again maybe next year if you really want to try it. But blood clots are, I mean, that's something to play with.
Dangerous, not something to fool around.
Right. And some of the comments that Rod's made lately about, like, this is truly long term.
Yeah, long term.
Yeah.
Like, it was yikes.
Really makes you question whether or not he's coming back this season. And it's just like, you hate it for the player. Like, you know, he wants to compete. And like when he's on, he's so, oh gosh, he's so good.
He's so great.
He's so good.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just for anybody who hasn't seen it, I'm pretty sure the documentary Aaron's referring to is All or Nothing Toronto Maple Leafs on Amazon Prime. Great. The whole series is great. So if you are into sports in general, it started out with soccer and football, and then the Toronto is the only hockey team they've done. But it is a really excellent documentary. The Maple Leafs one, the only thing I don't like about it is that was the COVID season. And so the show just kind of ends. You know, most of the time they're 10 or 12 episodes. I think that was six because they're like, oh, like season's over. Like,
yeah.
Hey, what are we going to do, right? But All or Nothing on Amazon Prime. Excellent, excellent show.
So do we do it? Do we
dive rip in the Band-Aid off?
I was going to say, you might as well rip it off because otherwise it's going to fester in gangrene. I mean.
Yeah, the last time we were all together, well, the last time we were in the storm cellar, things were looking not bad, and the Hurricanes were getting ready to hit the road, going west on a four-game road trip, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, and we kind of said, you know, there's a good 6 points to be had in...
You need four, but...
We need four, but six
you could do
available.
Six. You could do five.
And that Vancouver was going to be the most difficult game. Lo and behold, 0-4. A game against the Jets that they played really well and completely dominated and lost 2-1. Frustrating. Hockey happens. Then annihilation, pure and simple, from the get-go. Two goals in the first minute against Edmonton. And the thing about that one was McDavid wasn't even really a big deal in that one.
Right, it was Hyman, right?
Hyman, yeah. who was playing very well, too. We should point that out. Calgary, where I would normally be if I wasn't on holidays, I would have been in the barn. And now I'm kind of thankful that I wasn't there because I would have lost my mind. But they jump out 2-0 and find a way to lose in the third period. Talk about not playing a full 60 minutes. And then last night against Vancouver, which was befuddling, and it caused the player-only meeting after the game where they had a chance to say, you know, those guys in the storm cellar have been saying it for a long time. Maybe we should be listening to them. And guys, we appreciate you putting your faith in our canary in a coal mine act, but they're talking it out. Let's talk about it here. For me, the frustrating aspect about all of this is we're still not seeing Rod Brind'Amour Hurricane hockey that we've been enjoying for 5 years. And I've called us victims of success for the fans. I've been calling it, like, we saw it in Winnipeg. So they played really hard in Winnipeg. I can't fault them for that. But what happened beyond that trip, especially in Alberta, was just perplexing, I guess. I'm not sure what to say. Aaron, what do you think?
So what has frustrated me is what you already mentioned, where it's like, it's not a full 60 minutes. They'll come out buzzing for sometimes 10, 15, 20 minutes, sometimes not even a full period of hockey. I don't know what happens during intermissions. I know in theory what happens. They go back there, take bathroom breaks if they need it, get their little fuel, get their little snacks. But I don't know what that 15, like, I don't know what mentally shuts off, what physically shuts off that doesn't carry over to the next period. Mm-hmm. And that is what has been frustrating for me as a fan to see, because it's like they had like a body doubles come out sometimes.
Yeah.
And again, like from my perspective on the bench, like there's a handful of players I see, like they're still doing their thing. They're still coming out. They're still like, everybody has off nights or off days. And I also am trying to approach this from the perspective of, no matter what the zeros are on their pay stub, this is a job. I'm going through a, Lord have mercy, I have had a really rough patch at my job. It has been prolonged this year. It has not been a week, a month, whatever. It's been a minute at my job. And I am trying to approach it from that perspective as well. Like, it just seems like no matter what you do, no matter what tweaks you make, no matter what is coming down from leadership, no matter what is like going up the ladder, nothing is working. So again, I am trying to put that lens on it as well. It is really frustrating to watch. And again, from my perspective, I try not to scapegoat one person, because team sports are the worst group project in the world.
Sure.
And my job is a group project. And, you know, there's always somebody who isn't doing their job. There's always going to be somebody who's giving 150% and somebody who is giving 30 or 40%. And you have to find a way to get everybody at 100. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Hopefully they can figure it out. And I'm still going to be there in my section 105 seat.
Yeah.
Cheering for them. Yep. And taking my pictures and posting them on social media. But I get the frustration, and I'm not there. There are people I would like to point a finger at, but I can't do that in good conscience right now, because again, it is a team sport, and it is up to everybody. Like if you're one of the ones giving 150%, you have to drag those other people along with you and get them to get off their butts and do what they need to be doing. I think some of the leadership in the locker room might need to change. I will say that. I will go on the record and say that. I have not been too impressed with the captaincy this season.
Interesting. Interesting. You know what? You have such a unique perspective that I really love, because you're taking your own situation, like what you're dealing with at your work, and you're making that comparison. And I can totally see it. And I've got to ask, maybe you can provide us a little insight on this. How hard is it internally when you see and know who is not doing their job? And you might be busting your arse and doing everything you can, and you look over at Jimmy Crack Corn and they're not carrying the weight, right? They're not doing their part, and you see that it's affecting everything. That internal communication, there's got to be a little bit of animosity that grows in that. You know what I mean? If you're seeing someone not doing their part, the animosity is there. Once the animosity works in, it's like it's going down the toilet, right? You know what I mean? Is that fair to say? But second of all, how do you combat that to get the circle going in the other direction?
Oh, it absolutely burns my biscuits whenever I see that happening. It makes me crazy. But I also try to frame it where, like, this has been, thank goodness for therapists. This has been a lot of like introspection where people aren't doing that to, out of, any ill will toward me. It is not personal.
Right.
It is not, they aren't slacking on their job or not giving their all to say personally. Yeah. It is just sometimes they might be going through something personal. That's the other part of it. They might not be feeling well physically. They might have something going on in their personal lives. People bring their whole selves to work,
sure,
no matter what the setting is. And I think that is a huge perspective that people are like not really, that people forget. I'm not going to say they don't keep in mind, but that people forget. I've seen a lot of takes on social media across all teams. They're like, these people are getting paid a lot of money to do this job. They are getting paid a lot of money to provide us entertainment, but they are people. At the end of the day, they are also people. And we don't know what is happening in their personal lives. We don't know what is happening with them mentally. Like, I have imposter syndrome. They might be having imposter syndrome as well. And I would encourage people to like think with empathy first.
Yeah.
And that is how I try to approach a lot of things in my life, because like I don't think anybody in that locker room is going, I am going to go out and have the worst game of my life tonight.
Yeah.
And like, Sebastian Aho is going to go out and have the best game of his life. Like, I don't think anybody with the Hurricanes crest on their sweater is thinking that as they're putting on their uniform every night. Nobody is thinking that.
Yeah. Brad, before you jump in, Aaron, you know, the name that came to my mind when you're talking about what's going on behind the scenes, and Brad, you and I spoke about this a lot last season, and Teuvo Teravainen.
Yeah.
Really, really struggled, and everyone wondered, mm-hmm. where is he? What's going on? And little do we know, or at least I didn't know anything about the death in his family, his grandfather, whom he was very close with. And I know that when, you know, my family, when I had family members who passed on, it affects every aspect of your life, and it's hard to get out of. And he had a very strong connection. And so, yeah, it makes you want to kind of step back and say, okay, there's certain things that you have to understand, right? And hockey, performance-based gig, right? Where the demand is that if you're getting X amount of dollars, there's a little bit of wage envy in all of that too, right? Yeah. When mm-hmm. you look at someone who makes $8 million a year, something that many of us can't even fathom, to play a game, you want them to perform. Like, you can't take a night off, right? And yeah. And but what it, taking a night off is not the same as having something affect you that affects your performance either, right? And that's there's two different complete mindsets. And Brad, I know there's Si, you haven't had a chance to really weigh in here, and I wanted to bring you in on this whole topic because it's a difficult one to look at this whole situation, and you have a lot of thoughts about this, these past four games, and beyond, of course.
Yeah. So I'm going to preface this by looking at a few statistics. From start of the season until the end of November, you know, they went 13-8. They racked up 27 points, 3.36 goals for, 3.32 against. Power play was at 20%. Nothing wrong with that. Penalty kill was at 75%. A lot of things wrong there, generally speaking. I think everybody thought that's what I think that's what we all thought is we can score goals, but our defense is lacking, right? That's the general theme of the first 2 months of the season is it's not an offensive issue. It's a defensive issue. December 1st until December 10th, 1-4 for a 200 win percentage, 2.6 goals for, their 0.6 goals off the league average, 3.4 goals against. Defense has gotten worse.
Yeah.
The power play has gotten better, 23%, because almost all your goals have been on the power play. The penalty kill's at 100%. The penalty kill actually had a shorty somewhere. The penalty kill net PK is at 107, which is just phenomenal. Like, no complaints, right, the penalty kill.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring it up is it's not a special teams issue. In the past, we've said it's, you know, if they could have had a power play.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Right, right. In the past, we'd say, oh, like, the penalty kill's fine. If we had a power play, we could win a cup. Well, the power play is doing fine. I don't like the way it's being run still, but it's working, and I'm going to take it and move on because it's one of the few bright spots. I really appreciate all the things Aaron had to say and brought to the conversation because I think that gets lost, you know, at least in the heat of the moment. Certainly during a game, no offense to them, but I'm not worried about all the other things, right?
Yeah.
It's the middle. And well, I always say, like, if you want to know people's real reactions, don't ask them in the middle of the game when you just gave up two goals, right? That's, you're not going to get an accurate assessment. The one place that would maybe differ is, I had a struggle, particularly last year at work, with some things. With people not pulling their weight and thus making my life personally much harder, right? Affected my family, like, right? You know, the whole nine yards. Sports is a little different. Not that those things don't happen, but the difference that I wanted to bring up is, you know, I work for a university, and if I'm not cutting it or some coworker's not cutting it, there's nothing you can, I mean, obviously they could be let go. There are things that can be done, but I'm not getting traded to Harvard, you know, like there's a medium step that sports has that most of us don't. Cause normally you either have a job or you don't. And in sports, we have this whole thing that says we have a contract with you and we can just ship you off and give you a start somewhere else. Right. And not that we want to do that with anybody, but the big thing that I'm seeing is Aaron is 100% right. It's not like there's a person having a bad night, right? And it's not just the two goaltenders who are in, right? This is not all Ront and Kochetkov. Are they playing great? They're not. Is the defense playing in front of them? They are not. Are the forwards playing good in front of them? They are not. And so, although I certainly in a case like a Teuvo Teravainen, like if you don't have empathy for that, like that can't be taught, right? Yeah. But the issues they're having don't feel like this is a one or two person problem. Like, I don't think this is somebody who's just in their head. You know, this is maybe that alongside other things, but like, this is systemic. Like, this is a, you know, this is a top 3-4 on paper roster in the league out of a playoff spot. And, you know, to share, you know, just a couple quick quotes, you know, Aho, we're not happy, we're frustrated. The time to show, you know, is now to show it to us what we're, you know, what we're capable of. Rod Brindamore, you know, all I can think of my head right now is how we just gave up two goals. That doesn't work. what's another one? From our friend Zach, from his Hockey Writers, you know, report or article after the Vancouver game. You know, Rod's, you know, we're not good enough. We got a lot of guys that aren't pulling their weight. And for Rod Brind'Amour, who is the definitive players coach, we've said before, he's a players guy, not meaning he's soft on the players. Like some, you know, normally players coach means the players rule the roost. I don't think that's true here, but when Rod says, quote, a lot of guys, quote, there's, you know, something is bad. And RB Kaniak and I had a quick exchange this morning about, you know, I had mentioned like, hey, like the time for the players only meeting was like 2 weeks ago. And he brought up a great point, said, hey, this is the first one we're hearing about. It's probably not the first players only meeting. And I was like, yeah, that's probably true. Which is worse. Like if you've had two or three players only meetings and the coach is calling you out and the captain is calling people out and Stefan Nazan, who's like the only player I would give maybe an A grade to right now on the whole team, is calling people out. What's going to change? And we don't know what's in Don's head. Like you got to assume Don is on the phone making calls and saying, hey, I need to bring order to the chaos. See, I threw in chaos there.
Well played.
A little joke. Like see, that. I'm trying to keep it lighthearted.
Wink, wink. Nudge. Doing well.
But Don is such a we like our team guy that I'm not sold on it. Like we know he's shopping TA. Like that finally has gotten out. Like that's a definitive thing, which even Colin said last week. I'm like, I didn't know that. Like I assumed, but we don't know because Don's not going to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to know. I don't need to know. I would like to know as a fan, what is it? I don't even care who. If somebody came out and said, oh, like we have four guys who are problematic because they don't want to put in the effort or something, like I wouldn't even need to know who the guys were. I'd be like, okay, well, like now I know what the problem is. Because they don't know. Because like Aaron said, I don't think any of them are like trying to sandbag the team. But I do see guys that I worry about who either are inconsistent or who feel to be checked out at times. And I don't know the reasons. And maybe they have great valid reasons for it, but you're part of a 23-man roster, right? You can't if you're given 80% and that's the best you can do for now, I commend you for giving 80%. But if it's dragging everybody else down, like something's got to, you know, like something's got to change, right? We can't just let one person bring the team down. It doesn't sound like it's one person though. And that's what worries me, right? We're 31% of the way through the season as of today. I think it was 30.6% of the way through the season. The Hurricanes are in a place where the season is salvageable for one, right? You got 56 games to go. You can turn it around. The question is, does anybody believe that in or out of the locker room? Does anybody, you know, are the Canes flying home or actually are they flying to Ottawa?
Yeah.
Thinking, no, we're going to win this one. We got this one, you know? I mean, even so the Edmonton game, right? They go down 2-0 to Edmonton in a minute. 2 years ago, I'd have texted Ray and said, it's fine. We're down 2-0. They're going to come back and tie it up, and then we'll see who wins. Like, they may not win, but they're you know, I have no doubt in my mind they're coming back in this game. It's going to be competitive. I don't know how either of you feel, but when they went down 2-0 the other night, I said, good night, Ray.
Yeah.
It stinks to love somebody and want them to succeed, but not feel confident in their ability. Because you know they can do it, but my fear is, do they know they can do it anymore? Because this has gone beyond, like, you know, Ronta, right, and Kochetkov probably having, you know, being legit kind of off their game mentally, right? Because they got to be feeling the heat. But like, it looks like just from watching the replays and seeing guys in defensive lapses and things, like that's got to start eating into those guys. To point out a guy who's, I think, still playing pretty well, KK. Yeah. I've seen people starting like, KK, like he's not putting up points. He's had a pointless streak. He's not. Well, he's not, but that's not his fault because KK is playing defense because the defensemen are pinching and he's having to play defense, which means he's not rolling into the offense. So now he's not scoring and now he's probably feeling the pressure. Like, I'm not putting the puck in, when the reality is, well, you're not putting the puck in because you're not being put in a position to put the puck in. Like, that's not a you thing, but now is that, you know what I mean? It snowballs
on that stuff. Like hearing that, like hearing on the broadcast nonstop, like, oh, that was a defensive lapse by basically all the forwards. And I was like, I get that we, like, you have to wear many hats. You have to be there to stop pucks. You have to be there to contribute to all the plays. But holy hell, like you can't expect everybody to do everything. And like, we have players that play certain positions for a reason. And to expect KK and Jarvis and who were they on last night? They were on somebody last night about a defensive lapse. And I was like, you're forward. Like,
yeah.
It's, I mean, so Carolina runs a motion offense, which if you don't know what that is, it just means anybody who's on the ice other than the goalie might be trying to score goals. Right. I mean, that's the simplified version of motion offense. But you're right, though. If you're going to run a motion offense, then if you're a forward who's not scoring goals, but you're defending well, that has to be okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because if the defensemen are pinching and Burns and Orlov and those guys are scoring goals and you're covering for them, then your defensive prowess has to be acceptable for you to get a pass on. You're doing your job, right? Because that's your job at that point. And so when I see people starting to go, like, you know, KK's the one that jumped out to me, it's like, yeah, he's not scoring goals because he's defending. You know, and Chatfield got a couple of goals and Orlov's had a couple of great chances and all because they were pinching and KK was the top forward and he was pulling back. So we can't have it both ways, right? Either everybody contributes and we need to look at everybody's game as a total. And this is where like the stall line has been getting a lot of heat, right? Because it's like, well, they're not scoring. And that's fine when they're playing exceptional defense and they're shutting down top lines. The problem is now they're not nearly as good defensively as they have been. And that's fine if you're producing, but it's not fine if you're just not as good as you were, yeah. You know? And I mean, I'm kind of laughing because I've gotten a lot of the frustration out. Like a lot of that I get out at night.
Yeah.
Right. And this is cathartic. And Erin's so enthusiastic. She has such a good way of trying to look at this that it's, yeah. I'm not even going to say half like the mean things I was going to say, but
Go on, let it out.
No. Well, I don't know. We'll do an after hours show or something. But
sure.
The worry, right? The legit concern. As a team, the Hurricanes are fifth for a wild card spot. Fifth.
Yeah.
You're behind New Jersey. They have two games in hand. You're behind the Capitals. They have three games in hand. You're behind the Lightning. You're behind the Red Wings, who have a game in hand. You're behind the Islanders, who have a game in hand. You're behind the Rangers by a ton, who have two games in hand. And the concern is not that the Hurricanes can't play better. I have no doubt the Hurricanes are going to, whether it's through trade, whether it's through somebody puts their foot in somebody else's bum, they're going to play better. Okay, I'm not worried about. Here's the concern. If you're the Capitals and you have Ovechkin on the tail end of his career, are you going to make a run for that final playoff spot? Yeah, 100%. Are you going to make trades and all to make your team better? Yeah. If you're the Devils, who are also underperforming, are you going to make a run for a playoff spot with the Hugheses and Timo and everything you've just invested in last year? 100%. Yeah. If you're Don Waddell, you better get a jump on those guys. Or it's going to be another Tarasenko / Meyer / name whatever player we wanted to get. If you're going to get into a bidding war, I don't know that Don's going to pull the trigger. And the guys who are most likely to be traded for the most part, have no movement clauses.
Yeah.
Some form of no movement or no trade clauses.
Yeah.
So the concern in my mind stems from what is the general issue? Because it seems to be getting worse, not better. And two, okay, so let's say we get a goalie. Well, that's great. That doesn't fix the other problems. Nope. And let's say they go after something to fix the other problems. Does Don have the people he can move to do something, or is he going to wait and now you're in a bidding war? Neither of those things are good. It's not that I, Colin from Home Ice Advantage always puts up the, you know, how do you feel about the Canes front office? And I've always clicked approve. Like I've always said, yeah, overall, I approve. And this is the first time where I'm like, I need to see them treat this seriously now, or I'm going to go to slightly approve, which doesn't sound bad, but for me, that's a pretty big knock on Don Waddell because he's done a really good job. Because it's December. If you can fix this in December, fix it in December. Don't wait until February when you're in a war. You know, it's and the other GMs know that, right? It takes two to tango. So it's not even on Don. It's you've put yourself in a situation where you're going to have to climb and scrap. If this team makes the playoffs, and words I never thought I would say before the season started, it's because they gutted it out. They did a gut check. They came back. They found a way to win, much like this year's NC State football team, who went through three quarterbacks and clawed and did everything, and now we're going to the Pop-Tart Bowl. Like, very proud of them. But the expectation was not that they were going to have a 10 or 11 win season, right? And that's the difference, is this team is not a – I mean, where are they in the – let me look in the East. Okay. In the East, you have five teams worse than you. Did anybody, the Canadiens fans, Buffalo fans, James F. from Columbus, people who hate the Hurricanes, none of them would have you as the 11th best team in the East at any point in the season. Nobody. Because they'd say, man, I hate those guys, but we're better than them. We're the Rangers, right? We're the Devils. They're the third best team. They're the fourth best team. Nobody's calling you the 11th best team, but that is who you are today.
You evoked James F.
We should get James on sometime. I feel like that would be fun.
I'm sure it would be. Look, there's so much to unpack there. So much. So I'm going to bullet point a couple of things and then ask, I'm going to speculate with a question that I'd like your responses to. Burns is not scoring at the pace that he was in the past. He's nowhere close. He's having trouble getting the puck to the net. People are the forecheck that we've known and love is virtually non-existent. There are times in the game where, yes, one line will go and do their thing, but and they get the pressure that they need. Normally, the fourth line, I want to just say not only Nason, but I think Drury's doing a pretty good job as well. But Nason definitely right now working the hardest. It was alarming to hear Nason after the Calgary game say the same thing that Rod and that Stahl. And there
put a letter
so
on his
many,
chest.
Yeah, and you know what? Everyone
show it on the plane.
He was spot on with it. And now you're hearing it from everyone that everyone knows what the problem is. And this brings me, I had more to unpack, but I'm going to abbreviate it. This leads to my question. Did last year's playoff result affect the mindset of some of the players in this season? What I'm suggesting to you is that the Canes for the last three, four seasons, just relentless, hard skating, no one waiting for the puck to come to them. They go to the puck. They do so much. And it was exhilarating for me personally to watch, because that's the kind of effort you want to see every night. But what did all of that last year result in the end? What I'm wondering is if some of these players who are not quote unquote buying in, some of them who are players who have played the game the way we expected them to in previous seasons, are they of the belief that they can just turn it on and turn it off like a faucet? That all we need to do now is get into the playoffs. This is a four-game stint. We lost four. Big deal. You know what I mean? We will be able, in the end, we will be in the playoffs. And once we get our foot in the door, we're going to switch to that style of play that Rod has infused in this team. And then we're going to be able to take it to the finish line.
I would feel better about that if they were in a playoff spot and not
true.
Yeah.
Not four spots out.
One final thing, Brad. The opposite of that means that maybe Rod has lost the room with some of the players.
Just to think through out loud, if the first thing you said is true and the players are like, hey, we just need to get in the playoffs and turn it on, which we've said a million times, like, get in the playoffs, you never know what happens, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, that helps when you're actually in contention for a playoff spot. If that was true, then we wouldn't hear Rod Brindamore saying there are guys not doing their job, because it's not like the players are going to do that and like not tell, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the players are not going to decide as 23 guys, hey, we're going to kind of just skate through the season and just try and get the playoffs healthy. If they're doing that, that gets back to Rod, whether it's through coaches, through trainers, Rod just being an intelligent hockey guy, he would know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He would say, hey, he would just go on record and be like, hey, we're just not playing our best hockey and we just need to do better. I like I like what we did last night, even though we lost 6-1, which he does sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So if what you're saying is true, I don't think we hear from the guys like we have. You know, they would just say, we would get generic canned sports responses, right?
Yeah.
And then I forgot the second thing you just said, because I actually had something to say.
Rod loves
losing the room?
I don't think that.
Sorry, Aaron, just real quick. I am not saying this, okay? This is not me making a suggestion. However, most other teams, if you were the cup favorite going into the season, and in December, you're four positions out of a playoff spot, I think in a good number of other cities, the head coach is in fact gone. I don't think that it should happen to Rod. I'm going to be very ultra clear. That is not what I think should happen. It is not something I think is going to happen. Rod Brindamore is not the problem. I'm just saying, if this is New York or New Jersey or Colorado or Vancouver or Edmonton, they're changing the coach. They might change players too, but the coach would already be halfway out the door. And they have such faith in Rod, as do I think the team and the fans. That's not an issue. But I'm just saying, if this was another market, Edmonton, they're changing the coach.
Mm-hmm. Aaron?
Yeah, I'll answer number two. I don't think Rod has lost the room. I do wonder about other personnel. And I've wondered about other personnel for a bit. Especially seeing some of the lapses that we're seeing this season across like defense and things like that. And with Rod being such a, like you said earlier, a player's coach, I think a lot of those players would run through a brick wall for him. I think there are still players who across the league would want to come here and play for him. I just think the money's not there. for our cap situation, number one, and number two, just our GM isn't willing to pay it.
Yeah.
So I think that that's part of it. And that's going to get us into a bad situation when it comes to trades and trying to make our team even stronger. I think that playoff run, especially Florida, was incredibly deflating. And I don't think I don't know that the team has recovered mentally from it. I don't know that the summer was long enough and then they had to come right back and get right back into it, especially because there were so few changes made to the team over the summer. One thing that I have been paying attention to, like, there's a lot of talk and speculation about the chemistry in the room. Not that we hear everything. Again, we talked about, like, we haven't heard anything about, like, it doesn't mean like this was the first players only meeting. It doesn't mean that this was the, that there haven't been other conversations or whatever going on. We haven't heard about, like, team bonding. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, I think this was pre-COVID, when they were in Banff, they did the excursion at one of the winter sports places and all of that. And like, they came back and seemed to just be almost a different team after that. And last year they went fishing in Seattle, which, okay, that was cute, but we haven't really heard anything. One thing that has stuck out to me all season, and I tweeted about it and people thought I was weird, but there's nobody there with Slavin doing like the fist bumps and butt slaps and all of that stuff when the players are going back into the locker room. It took a while for Trocheck to join him. And then last season we had Stepan. It took a couple of games for Stepan to do it. There's nobody. It's just Slavin there by himself.
Yeah.
And trying not to read too much into that, but like, to me, that's kind of telling.
No, that's right? An interesting point.
Yeah.
The camaraderie is important. The little nuances that you see that are in the team that you might not necessarily see on the ice, but if they're not there, it could be a contributing factor. Aaron,
those are great points.
They are, absolutely.
And being somebody who's not in the games and we only see what, you know, gets broadcast, like, I would not have noticed that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have that unique perspective being right there, like right there. So, and there's sort of an aura amongst all of that too, right? Everyone knows when you walk into a room or whatever and something isn't right, lots of times it's so not right. Everyone feels it, even though you don't know what's going on. And that's kind of the situation here. We right. all know there's a problem. There's a humongous elephant in the room, but you don't know, or you can't quantify it. You can't find that way to put a finger on it. We can only hope that in the coming week, we will see that change. And the first spot would be against Ottawa. We got a game against the Detroit Red Wings for the first time, who I hope Larkin is okay. Man, did he take a hit against Ottawa.
That was brutal.
Knocked him out. That was scary. I'm going to send out wishes to him. Hope he's okay. But of course, the Wings also have
Lion
Kane. They have Kane with the team, who's joined them now and scored his first goal. So we got a couple of opponents here in the coming week. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how these games come out. I'm not going to make any predictions because I was made a fool of last week. I said six, 7 points.
I don't know, man, because if anybody would have put the Canes getting 0 points in Western Canada, like on FanDuel or something, like you could have paid off your house with that kind of money. I mean, but it's a huge week. Ottawa, Detroit, who you're fighting for a wild card spot with.
Yep.
Nashville, who you're not, but it's a back-to-back. You better be up for that. Nashville's a tough team. They always play the Canes well. Sunday, we'll be recording before this, but you have the Capitals. Once again, it's a team with games in hand on you who has as many points as you, for whom you are fighting for a wild card spot. Like, it's, I want there to be a movie ending, not a movie ending. I want there to be a movie come to Jesus moment. I'm thinking of, like, in the movie Major League, when Tom Berenger goes to Corbin Burnson's house and his wife is like, oh, like, let me get you some coffee. And she's, I'll be right back. And then, you know, Corbin comes in and he sits down like, hey, what's going on? And Tom, like, gives it to him.
Yeah.
You know, and then leaves. Or Days of Thunder, when Tom Cruise goes up to Michael Rooker's character, Rowdy Burns, when he's got the head thing going on, and he grabs the bat and he, you know, breaks it over. Was it a pool table or a car or something? He's like, we'll fix it right here. Like, I want that for the Canes, and then they could be happy.
There you go. We can only hope. I'll tell you what, though, Brad, one thing about being happy. I know you and I are. I'll speak for you on this one. We're very, very, very happy that Aaron has joined us today. Aaron.
This was much more pleasant than I expected. Thank you, Aaron. Because if it was just me and Ray, this would have had a very different tone. A
very different tone indeed. And you've brought a great perspective to us. And I apologize that I didn't remember this a lot sooner, that we actually had met face to face one of the few times. Like, this is unbelievable. But Aaron, you've made the Storm Cellar episode fantastic, and we certainly appreciate your time.
Great insights.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. And
we'll definitely have you back.
Great.
Can you, awesome. So for people who are on the fence, who we've maybe reached out to, or like, I don't know, like, I'm not sure. Can you tell people we're actually not scary at all? Like,
you are, oh my gosh, this was awesome. yeah.
Again, the curmudgeons in the balcony Statler and Waldorf. I mean, that they can, I don't mind them calling us that, but I think we're
pretty easy.
Good time. We're pretty easy.
No, I joke, because it is funny. I will reach out to folks and they're like, oh man, like, I'd be so nervous. And I'm like, that's what everybody just about has said, with the exception of folks who, you know, either do this, like Zach or Bailey Cat, Colin. Yeah. It's like most everybody else is like, oh, I'd be nervous. I'm like, we're just going to talk about hockey, and we're asking you because, you know, we think you have something to contribute. So, like, you know, hockey, it's, you know, so.
Absolutely.
If you're listening and we've reached out to you, or you're thinking like, hey, I got something I'd like to say, either I agree with y'all or you're dead wrong, let us know. Like, we have plenty of spots open for spring.
Peer pressure, do it.
Yeah. Where exactly do they do that though, Brad? Because we're open, we're ready to have folks join us in the Storm Cellar, but how do they do so?
Easiest way is via Twitter. Probably you can just message us. If we don't follow you, you can just send us an email, but StormCellar97 on Twitter, StormCellar97@gmail.com, Facebook.com/StormCellar97. There's other ones. If you click on the link tree in our Twitter profile, there's like 8 ways to get a hold of us. So it's not hard. You can just tag us in a post and say, hey, I want to be on the show. I want to tell you how terrible your takes are and give a counterpoint, and I'm all for it.
We are absolutely all for that. We don't mind being taken to task. We're big boys and we can handle criticism, even though you'll be wrong in criticizing us. No, I'm
yeah, true. I mean,
I'm at Judge Wapner 10. If you want to hit me up, if for some reason you can't reach Brad, which is impossible, you could always try to hit me up as well, and we'll make the arrangements.
If the Canes are down 2-0 in the first minute, I probably went to bed.
Yeah, I'm being honest. Steer clear of Brad.
It's an 82 game season. I'm going to take that one off.
Yeah, and I didn't blame you for one second. I tortured myself and watched the whole thing.
What else is there to do in the Bahamas, Ray?
What else, right? What else, Aaron? Again, thank you so much. We've had a great episode. I've loved every aspect of it, but Brad.
Oh, how can they get a hold of Aaron online?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, let's get
Aaron. Aaron is the Canes, the Caniacs, rather, resident photographer. So nice. So she's already widely followed. Yeah. Although, have you seen like less engagement with Freddie not being on the bench?
No, because like now it's fetch.
To somebody, it's somebody else.
Yeah. There's always another player. I am Hatfield V. McCoy.
Twitter. That, by the way. Absolutely love that.
I joined Twitter a million years ago and I was like, what's something funny that I could do? Yeah. So
beautiful.
Yeah. Good old family feuds coming to the rescue. And then I'm EH Muttley on Instagram.
Awesome. Check her out because you'll be able to enjoy what we have here in our podcast. And Brad, just one thing left.
Please beat Ottawa and Detroit and the Capitals. I mean, go Canes.
Okay.
There we go.
Go Canes.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Ray and I greatly appreciate your support in helping us produce an informative and fun podcast. As always, we'd like to say that we believe hockey is for everyone. Whether you're a Caniac or a bunch of jerks, doesn't matter, as we're just a couple of jerks anyway. We would love to hear your questions, comments, and suggestions. We will do our best to answer anything hockey-related. You can reach us via email at stormcellar97@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are at stormcellar97, and on Facebook at facebook.com/stormcellar97.